to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, Make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in that place, so men sat down in the number of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. It's again what we would refer to as the miracle of feeding the 5,000. And I think one of the things that so strikes me about the story as I read it, reread it, is when you look at, you know, the scenario. I like, you know, what Jesus is asking Philip. You know, where, you know, Jesus said this test. Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing the great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" You know, he's kind of testing Philip a little bit here to see where his faith is at. And of course, Philip, you know, does the math, as we do the math a lot of times in our circumstances, situations, and it just doesn't calculate. But Jesus knew something, you know. Jesus knew something here that Philip didn't know. He knew his heavenly Father. He knew what his heavenly Father could do. You know, Jesus said, you know, it's the Father in me, he does the works. In fact, he just said what he heard the Father say, he did what he saw the Father do. He lived a life, he really lived an example life for us to model what it looks like. We say Jesus is the Lord of our life. What does that mean? Really, the beautiful picture is looking at how Jesus interacted with the Father. He allowed the Father to be Lord of his life. He submitted himself to the Lordship of his Father in saying and doing and just that life of obedience, that pure life of obedience. So one of the things we saw the Father was showing him to do was to do an amazing miracle here of multiplying the bread, the loaves and the fish. And so much of life, you know, when you look at things and you begin to approach things, you know, in life, a lot of it is just a matter of perspective. And it's an amazing thing how faith can give life a completely different perspective when you're in faith or when you're not in faith. I'm talking about us as Christians now, when we approach things. We can either approach things in faith, or we can just approach things with, you know, Philip's math, you know, as far as what we can calculate and look at the natural side of things. But here we see a beautiful picture of Jesus. You know, Philip was considering what they didn't have, but Jesus was looking at what he did have. Just 5 loaves and 2 small fish. He looked at what he did have. And what does it say? It says, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks. We think of this as an amazing miracle. You know, what did the miracle worker do to the bread? Did he do something dramatic, profound? He just gave thanks. To think that miracle, the invocation of this amazing miracle happened as he gave thanks. The power of God was released in thanksgiving, in the appreciation. And what a beautiful life lesson we all have, because we can all look at things in life, maybe things that we don't have or things that we lost or different things like that, but when we can just stop and take a look at, okay, what do I have? What do I have right now? And begin to take what you do have and just lift it up and give thanks for what you do have. What can God do with what you do have when you give thanks for what you do have? And that's what Jesus could see. He could see past what he didn't have, and he could see through to what the Father was about to do with what he did have when he gave thanks. It's a powerful thing, giving thanks. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't abracadabra. It wasn't anything. It was just Thanksgiving. I love that. Just a thanksgiving. Again, thanksgiving, it's an amazing thing how thanksgiving can cause you to take that faith approach to life, that faith perspective when it comes to life. Just a few other exhortations that we can just see throughout the New Testament regarding thanksgiving. Colossians 3, 15, 17. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and hey, be thankful. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That pretty much sums up everything we say and do. There's a heart attitude of thanksgiving. The psalmist said, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness, which is what we were doing every night, declaring that. You know what would be a good exercise for you to do sometime? Does everybody know that God loves them? You know, one of the ways you can encourage yourself in the Lord is when you just voice in your own name. If I was to say it, I'd say, Ed, I love you. I love you. I am for you. In the middle of anything you're going through, voice in your own name. You put your voice to the love of God and his word and encourage yourself in his love and his faithfulness. You know, it's not wrong to do that. The fact that God loves you is not a violation of Scripture. You can say God loves you, and you have not violated Scripture. While you were a sinner, he loved you and gave himself for you. That's how he demonstrated his love for you. Encourage yourself. Hear your voice verbalize God's love for you. Encourage yourself. He does love you. There's an enemy that doesn't want you to do that. But I'm telling you what, there is just something about when your theology of God's love becomes first person, I love you. And you know what happens when you say that? The Spirit in you bears witness with your spirit. That's true. He loves you. I am for you. Ed, I am for you. Ed, there is nothing that can separate you from the love that I have for you. I'm talking about make it personal. Make it. When you begin to do that, You will have a response, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. You just can't hear the love of God without... We love him because he first loved us. It has a reactive effect. But one great way to prime the pump of thanksgiving, I'll tell you what, is to just begin to declare what God has already declared in his word over your own life with your name. In your voice, because it's true. David was talking about how that truth cuts. The sound of your voice declaring God's love over your life in a certain situation, it'll cut through stuff. It'll cause that faith perspective to come into being, and it'll cause thanksgiving to come into your heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amplified of 18 says, thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. What a beautiful picture of the will of God. So many different times we'll kind of struggle with the will of God as it relates to maybe opportunities or timing or different things like that. But one part of the will of God you can just always know. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You're ever wondering what to do next? Give thanks. Give thanks. Give thanks. This morning, we're going to just talk about a thankful heart. And the amazing thing about a thankful heart is it's one of these messages that it covers. It's an amazing thing because it's so simple. It's one thing to focus on, but in the doing this one thing in purposing to have a thankful heart, you end up doing so many other things at once. You know, there's the old adage about kill a few birds with one stone, okay? And sometimes we'll talk about that. You know, Julie and I will talk about taking that ride into Sturgeon Bay or Green Bay or whatever it might be, you know? All right, here we go. We're going to get gas. We're going to go to the bank. We're going to get some groceries. We're going to pick up ink for the printers and all that kind of stuff. All on this one trip to Sturgeon Bay. And it's nice, you know, you're just going there and back, but you're getting so much done. A thankful heart is a lot like that. You can be a doer of the word in so many areas all at once. You can be living so many sermons by just doing this one thing, having a thankful heart. There's so many things that happen when a person on purpose gives thanks to God. It puts so many things into motion spiritually. You're killing a lot of theological birds. I don't mean to, you know, obviously in the form of death here, but you're being a doer of the word in so many areas with just one act of obedience. You're putting so many spiritual laws into motion with just one act. That's why it says, this is the will of God in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. This is one of those things that'll get you tuned in to the specifics of God's will if we do this one general thing. And so as we talk about a thankful heart this morning, I just want to look at a few different areas of how a thankful heart affects different areas of our life. Okay? A thankful heart is, you can just say a thankful heart is, a thankful heart is a humble heart. That's one of the great works of a thankful heart. It produces humility in your heart. You know, humility is not your ability to look humble. That's how we win elections and different things like that. By the favor and the approval of man and looking humble and all this kind of stuff, forget all that junk when it comes to God. The Bible says all things are naked and open before Him. There's no putting on for Him. He just sees right into your heart. And one of the things that you can stay honest and humble is when you get thankful. And thankfulness is a decision. It's an amazing thing how it really becomes a pivot point in our lives. Romans gives quite an illustration of it. Romans 1:20, it says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. How? Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. What does Scripture say? A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. What does it make that makes somebody so smart to know whether there's a God or not? It's not your intellectual capacity. Jesus said, unless you humble yourself as a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you humble yourself as a little child. It's not intellect versus ignorance. It's pride versus humility. And there's conclusions you can draw when you look out at God's creation. And if you don't draw the conclusion of a creator God and give thanks, when you look at Romans chapter 1, you can see the progression that goes on. A foolish heart gets darkened. That means your ability to reason, your ability to think gets dark. You're not really working. You're not really handling truth anymore. And really what it comes down to is that heart. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now we can take this and we can say, okay, yes, there we go. The atheist has said there's no heart, you know, there's no God, and therefore he's, and that's certainly an application there, we see that. But let's bring it back to us. Do we do this? We've been given a lot, haven't we? We've seen a lot. We know we serve an amazing God. You know, when you think of pride, don't just think of, you know, that character on TV or the person in the TV show that so characterized the pride that, you know, you think that's what pride is, and I'm not that, therefore I don't deal with pride. Have you ever just worked at something and worked at something and worked at something? Until you're just burnt out working at something, and then all of a sudden thought, oh yeah, I could pray about this. I'm a Christian. I have the anointing that abides within. Have you ever leaned to your own understanding so long without acknowledging Him? And think, no, just in 5 minutes, I'm going to get just... It takes humility to stop and to acknowledge Him. To acknowledge Him in all your ways and let Him direct your paths. And there's just something about a thankful heart. If I don't know how to do something, I don't know what's next, I don't know different things, you know, there's things that I can pray about, but I'll tell you, one of the things that I can do is I can also just stop and give thanks and acknowledge him. Say, Lord, I acknowledge you in this. I don't know what to do. That's humbling. But I thank you, you know what to do. You gave me an anointing that knows all things. You've given me the great Holy Spirit to lead and guide me into all truth. That means it's not just the calculation of my mind. It's a leading of the Holy Spirit. When you get to where you're listening to the Holy Spirit on the inside, that's not an intellectual heady thing. It's a humility thing. It's a humbling yourself. It's looking unto him. It's not, again, not just the atheist creationism paradigm. It's a paradigm we experience as we're going through our life, as we're going through events and situations and things where we say, okay, God, I got to put this in your hands. I don't know what to do here. I need help. In the meantime, Lord, I give you thanks. Here's some beautiful scriptures that kind of tie it in. I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Praise God. I'll tell you what, there is something about when you begin to bless the Lord, like we were doing this morning, great is your faithfulness. You just begin to think of the times and the seasons and the ways God has been faithful to you. And then you make your boast in the Lord. God did this and God did that. And praise God, your boast is in him. But it starts with that thanksgiving, that praise. And all of a sudden your heart gets tender. It's like that water on a dry desert. There's something about praise that'll just water your heart. It'll soften your heart to where you begin to think, yes, praise God. My boast, Lord, it's in you. Don't be drunk with wine wherein is dissipation, excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. I love that. Being filled with the Spirit. How? Speaking to one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs. Isn't that an amazing thing? You're speaking out and yet it's filling you up on the inside. Even this morning, as you begin to sing out, you're getting filled up. There's a filling of the Spirit of God. I had this interesting dynamic happen to me when I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit to speak with other tongues. And I remember just, oh, I really wanted this. I knew it. I began to study it out in the Word of God. I did the pros and the cons and different things like that. I was raised in kind of a tongues-neutral environment, so I really didn't have a bias one way or the other. And I began to look at the theological things, studying it out, you know, like the Bereans, see if these things are so or not. I began to see it was really real, and it's true, and it's right, and it's in the Word. For you and your descendants, it's for as many as will call upon the name of the Lord. And so I realized it's there, but I remember just, you know, trying to get this, and I just... But, you know, in my mind and my heart, there was just something not right. My heart was just kind of, I don't know. I know now more later just the fact that really my heart just needed to be softened. Because you can kind of go after spiritual things almost like a credential and like something you want. But really these things are to bless and to help and to equip you, to put another tool in your toolbox to help you live for God. That's the motivation and the purpose behind them. And so as I began to just seek God, I remember I came to this conclusion, Lord, all I know is I want this relationship with you. I want this fellowship with you. That's what I want. And that night by my bed, I just began to pray. And all of a sudden, I just began to worship God, just in the privacy of my own prayer closet, so to speak, on the side of my bed in my bedroom, and just began to worship God, singing hallelujah and praise God. And somewhere those hallelujahs became other syllables. And I began to praise the Lord from my innermost being. As the Spirit gave utterance, I began to just by faith release in that safe place of praise and worship. And it was an amazing flow. Praise God. I thought, this is tongues? This is so easy. It's so simple. Amen. Yeah, it is. That's one of the most rude awakenings for somebody who's going after tongues. You just realize how simple it is. It's like, oh, you know, there's no glory. You know, there's no, I didn't do anything, you know. All I did was by faith speak as that those utterances came out, and the fluency and all develops, and just the flow and the edification that you get from praying in the Spirit is an amazing thing. Powerful dimension. You know, Paul said, you know, even when people got it wrong, even when they got their tongues out of line with the order of worship, he said, you give thanks well, but there's a giving of thanks that comes when you begin to worship in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit. There's a satisfaction of heart if you've never prayed in tongues. It is an amazing thing. There's a deep satisfaction of heart where you're able to express your spirit. For when I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. And there's a satisfaction of heart in your spirit when you begin to pray in the Spirit. But there's a humbling that comes just from giving thanks. And I remember I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit just thanking God and worshiping Him in English with what I did know. And it was like the presence of God filled that room, and it was green pastures when I switched over into my prayer language. Philippians 4:4-5. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." I love that in the Amplified. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, gladden yourselves in Him. And again I say, rejoice. Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfish, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. The Lord is near. He's coming soon." Praise God. There's something about that when you got a thankful heart, you got that appreciative heart. You're appreciating God. You know, I got great theology. You have great theology about the good things God's done for you. But when it is fresh in your mind and you are so thankful and you realize, man, that was my sin on that cross and it's gone. Handwriting of ordinances, nailed, wiped out. Oh, you can get stirred up in appreciation and thankfulness for those things. And what it does is it humbles your heart. It gives you the ability to put up with other people. It gives you the ability to walk in love when you realize God loves you so much. That wasn't that the error of the unforgiving servant? You know, he was forgiven this $1 million debt. He goes out on the street and he's just ready to strangle the guy that owed him $20. What was the message of that? What was really the story behind that Jesus was trying to get across? If that guy instead, you know, had not forgot about that great debt, and the master had to remind him, if he could have kept his eyes on that cross, so to speak, and said, "Wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." Kept it fresh in his own heart, a thankful heart, it would have helped keep his heart humble to forgive those who had sinned against him. There's just a humility of heart that is produced when a person begins to just worship and praise the God and begins to praise God. It's a beautiful thing. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. And again, don't get pride confused with personality type. It's not a personality type. Pride is a work of the flesh. You got it to deal with. It's not that character in the movie or on TV. It's you. You got it in your body, and it's going to war against your mind. Satan actually likes to portray these pride characters way out there so that we would kind of dissociate pride from us. The Bible says Satan is the more subtle of all the creatures. He's subtle in the way he does it. You got to realize, is my foolish mind darkened? Am I leaning to my own understanding? Am I kind of, or am I beginning to say, "No, Lord, I'm thankful. I look at creation and say, thank you, thank you." You begin to look at things to thank God for. 3, 5 loaves, 2 fish, thank you for them. What do I have? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. That's what keeps your heart humbled. That's what keeps you tuned in to His frequency, to where you can get the specifics of what to do next, where that increase is going to come and flow. But I'm telling you what, this stuff, you know, this is stuff we have to deal with. This keeps our hearts humble, keeps us from leaning to our own understanding. That continual praise God flow of praise. A carefree heart. Not just a humble heart, but here's a heart that, you know, you could put it like this. A thankful heart is a heart that is delivered from fear and anxiety. Psalm 34 again. It says, "I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I sought the Lord. He heard me and He delivered me from all my fears." Isn't that an amazing thing? You can go into a place of prayer one way, praise God, and come out a completely different way. And it's not because you got the answers to all your questions. You were just in the presence of God for a while. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You think you need answers, you need liberty. You need the Spirit of God. There's just something about, we were thinking about Angel Army. There's more with me than there are with them. God's with me. You come out of that prayer closet just knowing one thing, got one answer, God's with me. Yeah, you could have asked me a theological test before I went in my prayer closet. I would have answered it right. But I'm coming out of there in the presence of God. See, Paul told the Ephesians, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You can be strong in the Lord. You can be weak in the Lord. The theology doesn't change. It's what you set your mind on, what you get stirred up to. And when you begin to see some things, you sought the Lord. He heard me, delivered me. There is something about going there in that prayer closet, being in the presence of God, where the Spirit of God begins to just has a delivering power, delivering effect. Philippians puts it this way. It says, be anxious for nothing, but, this is kind of a little bit more of a magnifying glass of what that prayer closet can look like sometimes. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Praise God. You know, that can almost seem like a cop-out to the world. Are you just going to think happy thoughts when things are going wrong? Well, no, I'm not just thinking happy thoughts when things are going wrong. You know, we kind of throw a denial flag. And I get it. I understand where people are coming from. But you got to understand, before I ever start setting my mind on things, I'm doing business in verse 6. In fact, Christianity is the antithesis of denial. Christianity is the most brutally honest faith there is at the thought level. This is how I put it in Corinthians. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Christianity is not a blind crutch. No, it's the worldly abuses and escapes that ignore the thoughts and try to medicate the thoughts. Christianity doesn't do it. Christianity takes those thoughts into captivity to the obedience. It's brutally honest. Nothing denial about Christianity. And that happens here in verse 6. You're taking those thoughts in prayer and saying, Lord, what about this? I acknowledge you in this. I acknowledge you in this. Show me wisdom on this. Show me what to do here. And I'm letting you, and I'm letting these requests be made known to you with thanksgiving. Yes. That's faith, isn't it? That's where your faith is released in the thanksgiving. You know, you're acknowledging him, but you're saying with thanksgiving. Jesus didn't just lift up he lifted up the loaves and the fish with thanksgiving. He gave thanks. And that just brought the power of God. When we begin to take our prayer requests, we may be whatever we're lifting up to him with thanksgiving, then something begins to happen. Like we said, one stone, a lot of birds. You know, one area of obedience. There's so many things you cover. With that thankful heart, you begin to say, Lord, here's my situation. And Lord, I thank you because great is your faithfulness. Lord, unto me. While I was a sinner, you loved me. So many times, I could count the times I could have lost an eye one time. I could have had some times where I could have been killed. And I can just look back at my life at some things where God has spared me miraculously. Just big ones. Big things. Not to mention the stuff I don't even know. You know, how many times God has spared me. I can count my blessings in a lot of ways. But when I lift these things up to him, see, there's different ways we can pray, isn't there? We can pray with a fist in God's face, or we can pray with an open hand of praise and thanksgiving. God resists the proud. He gives his grace to the humble. Grace flows through thanksgiving. It's powerful. See, this is accusation. This is trust. Remember the servant who did this? You reap where you haven't sown. You gather where you haven't planted. You're unfair. Here's your coin. The other guys that took the 2 talents and made it 4, took the 5 talents and made it 10, they saw the same things going on around them. They just had a different interpretation. And they loved their master. Thankful heart is huge when it comes to our prayer requests. That's what causes our heart to be careful. What happens when we do it with a thankful heart? Again, we don't get the answers to all our questions, but we get something. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard 2 things. Your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. It'll put a guard on your heart and your mind. Okay, I know one thing. Whatever turns out about the situation, I have acknowledged God. I have let my request be made known, and I've done it with thanksgiving. Lord, I trust you. Now I am free to think on things that are true, honest, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report. It's not a blind escapism. This is the follow-through to my swing. I'm setting my mind on those things. And why is that? Because Romans 8 tells us, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. This is the spiritual mindedness, verse 8, that causes life and peace to come. And yet it's not denial. I've prayed. I've been brutally honest. I've taken the thought into captivity, brought into the obedience in the form of a prayer request. But now I'm going to think on those things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely, virtuous, praiseworthy. In the meantime, that's my faith. I'm standing. Heart, mind, and Christ Jesus. Praise God. I'm standing in that place. And as I do that, praise God, my heart, mind is protected, and it is in His hands, and I know it. I know it is in His hands. But then there's a spiritual mind, which is life and peace. Do you know that the world is very... When you look at the spirit of the world, the Bible says the whole world is under the sway of the wicked one. Things are being done in this world by design. It really is. And it's not a matter of just me as a child of the light, you know, pointing out every little thing. Number one, I just got to be aware of it. But the Bible is very specific. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Is that a religious little thing? No, that's the word. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Plain and simple. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're going to begin to think different. The way you begin to set your mind. The world is, we'll say, the real world is blood and guts and violence and profanity, vulgar. That's the real world. If you want to be real, that's the real. No, that's just real carnal. There's another real world where there's love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and forgiveness. It's a real world. There's two kingdoms. I know the kingdom of darkness gets the media attention. But that doesn't mean that's the real world. It's, in fact, a very temporary world. It's not the real world. The Bible says that the way of the ungodly shall perish. Things that we even debate the morality of won't even be in existence in a few years. Won't even exist. It'll perish. You got to understand the real world is God's world. The real world is defined by the Word of God. This is what's going to endure forever. He does the will of God, abides forever. This is the real world. Don't be intimidated by what the world defines as the real world. The real world is God's world. Praise God. It's powerful. God's world. Carefree heart. But it's going to be a choice. It's going to be one of those things that you got to do. You got to choose. You got to choose to praise. You got to choose that. This is, I mean, it's related, but I'll just say this. I've watched TV specials on TV, and the world is amazing at their ability to use multimedia to get at you. They'll get at your testosterone, or they'll get at your estrogen. They will manipulate you, they'll move you, they'll get you tough and mad or sweet and flowery or whatever they got to do. And you see these shows that the secular media puts out about God and the Bible. And you just watch objectively and listen for the dramatic music in the background. Yeah. And the PhDs saying this, that, and the other. And kind of the condescending tones. And the dramatic multimedia visuals. It's like, wow. You get done with one of these shows and whoa. It's a bunch of fluff. Take all that production, all that theatrical drama into the obedience of Christ.
Oh, come on.
It takes a thankful heart to keep your heart in the right place and not get fooled by that stuff. Sweet, simple, worshiping, loving God. Heart, they will mock it. They're afraid of it. The enemy is afraid of it.
Right.
You live for God. Keep that sweet spirit. You see, what the world defines as real, it's just real carnal. It's real fleshy. And if the enemy can get us, you know, carnally minded, then we're there. I mean, I can have a righteous human spirit and a carnal mindedness. Been there, done it. I know what I'm talking about. You do too. Flesh impacts flesh. The natural makes contact with the natural. I have a physical fist. This is a physical podium. I can make contact in the natural world. Spiritual things are the same way too. When somebody is coming at you with carnal weapons of hate and bitterness and wrath and that stuff, and you're carnally minded, it's going to make contact. But when you're spiritually minded, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and a thankful heart to the love of God, and He's done all that stuff for you, and somebody can throw that same carnal strife punch, and it'll just go right through you. Because it's no longer carnal, it's carnal spiritual. And that carnal mindedness and that worldly spirit can't connect with the spirit that's in God. It's going to go through you. You have grace for those carnal punches. Paul says, who's offended? And I don't burn with indignation. Who doesn't feel those sufferings and things like that in your mind? You feel that stuff. Absolutely. But when you're spiritually minded, there is absolutely grace to turn the other cheek, as it were, on the inside. I've been there. You can be there when you're weak in the Lord and when you're strong in the Lord. So-and-so said such and such, and if you're weak in the Lord, it ruins your day. You're strong in the Lord, I know one thing. I could walk through the valley of shadow death and fear nothing because you're with me. What causes that? Spiritual mindedness. What causes spiritual mindedness? Thankful heart. Thankful heart. A thankful heart. Nothing, I'll say thing, very rarely does life circumstantially ever perfectly line up for any of us. So we just got to find those spots to be thankful for. And then magnify the Lord in our heart and our mind. And when I'm spiritually minded, what is it? It says life and peace. Somebody takes a carnal blow, and I'm in a place of spiritual mindedness, goes right through. But if I'm already worked up about something, then you add that, I'll tell you what, your best defense, carefree life, is to keep that sweet spirit. I'm not trying to control everything so I don't get hurt again. I'm just staying in a place of spiritual mindedness, a thankful heart, and that's a carefree heart. Like I said, just one little thing, be thankful. You can be a doer of the word in so many areas with that one simple exhortation. And then, see, finally, not only is a thankful heart, you know, a carefree heart, but it's also a joyful heart. You know, we know the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, it not only protects us, keeps our mindedness in a place of spiritual mindedness to protect us from other people's carnal mindedness, but there's a joy. This is when you begin to get excited about what God has done in you. This is when you begin to get a good kind of swagger where it's like, praise God. If God be for me, who can be against me? And it's not just words. Wow, He really is for me. He was for me here and here and here. You know, there's a simplifying that goes on in our hearts and minds as we grow up spiritually. It's a deepening trust. God is for me. It's not like a new revelation. It's like a deeper revelation of the revelation you already got. God is for me. He is for me. Nothing really can separate me from the love of God. You know, it kind of emotionally make me feel good, but then you begin to really believe that. And it's like, well, praise God, I know one thing about this situation. It's not going to get in between me and His love for me. And really, no one can pluck me from the Father's hand. Is that really true? I'm in my Father's hand, and nobody can. You know, this is part of growing up spiritually, too. You kind of have to go through a little bit of life sometimes to realize some of these things. I mean, you know the theology of it, but you realize that, wow, experience produces hope. Yeah. He was faithful here in the whatever, I don't know, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s. Yeah, He hasn't changed. His mercy really does endure forever. Same God. No variableness, no shadow of turning with Thee. Change not. Compassions, they fail not. As you've been, you'll forever will be. That's why we believe God for healing. That's why we believe God for the mercies and the grace. He hasn't changed. He was moved with compassion 2,000 years ago. He's still moved with compassion today. we thank God for his love, his compassion in our lives. A joyful heart. This is just a wonderful picture. Peter, where he says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though for now a little. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." I love that. You know, just those midnight hours of your life where you just begin to say, "Yes, Lord, I just believe you are." And we just all have our own story, but God is real. And the way he manifests himself to us, he is real. And there is a joy that is unspeakable, and it is full of glory. Just a couple other scriptures along these lines. Hebrews 13:15. "Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." And then finally, 1 Peter 2:9. "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." What a beautiful picture. You know, this is part of what makes us salt and light. There is a joy. There, you know, I'll tell you what, this is, I mean, really, I love what Paul said. He said, "If in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most pitiable." I mean, I'm not all, you know, my citizenship's in heaven. I mean, my existence, this is the smallest part of my existence down here. This is a short-term mission trip. I'm already born again. I'm already a child of God. This is a vapor, Scripture uses to describe our duration down here. Teach us to number our days, because it's short, tiny. Paul rejoiced with the Colossians, saying, "Well, I'm just so glad for you guys. I'm just rejoicing because of the hope that's laid up for you in heaven." This is the beginning of something absolutely wonderful and amazing. And I'll tell you what, if nothing else, when you can get joyful and excited about the amazing glory that's to come, the exceeding, you know, in the ages to come, he's going to show us the exceeding riches of his grace. Wow. This is just the beginning of something amazing, wonderful. He loves you. You're his child. That's why when you're spiritually minded, you're heavenly minded, it's life, it's peace. But there is a joy. The Bible says about Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame. Now he sat down at the right hand of the Father upon high. You know, there's a joy that's set before you, an amazing joy that is set before you, where you're just going to see him face to face. And these will be times we'll reminisce. We'll talk about these days. We'll talk about these door of life days. One of these days when we're in heaven together, these will have their own glory days about themselves as we look back and see what God did in and through us at different times down here. But boy, see the big picture. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. What has he done? He's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I love that. It is just a picture of the grace. It's a picture of the goodness of God. And this is where I think when we come to this point, we can remind ourselves of those simple truths that, praise God, I am a child of God. You know, I'm a new creation in Christ. I have a loving heavenly Father. I have authority over the enemy. Praise God. Spoiled powers and principalities. He has given me everything that I need that pertains to life and godliness. I have cause to be joyful. I have cause to be happy. Here's a song I like to... This is a song that's just blessed and ministered to me through the years, especially as I'm dealing with things in my life. It's one of those songs that I think just exposes the shallowness and the frailty and the limited power of the enemy and the amazing power of praise. It goes, "When you're up against a struggle that shattered all your dreams and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. He will work for those who praise. He works through those who praise him. Praise him. Praise the Lord, for God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord, for those chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you. They fall powerless behind you when you praise him. Satan's a liar. He wants to make us think we're paupers when we know ourselves we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. Remember, Jesus Christ is risen, so the work's already done. Praise the Lord. He will work through those who praise him. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You know, there is just that point that in our lives where we just got to stop. You know what? What are you going to do now? I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to let my request be made known to him and praise God. I like the way the Lord, you know, dealt with me on this one time. I shared the story how I was running on the treadmill and just kind of heavied out with some strife and anger and things in my mind. And the Lord just, by the Spirit of God, and you know when it's the Spirit of God talking to you, he just said, just praise me. I said, praise, just praise you. And I said, Lord, I got to get through this, then I'll praise you. You know, and just kind of in summary, like a long story short, he just said this. He said, you don't have to bring closure to Satan's confusion before you can praise me. Have you ever noticed when you try to bring closure to Satan's confusion, you never quite get closure? There's always something else. Well, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. And what happens? You begin to praise, and then you get spiritually minded, and then you have life and peace, and then there's joy. Like I said, you're killing so many birds with one stone. There's so many things that go into motion when you just simply stop and thank God. Remember one of our teachers at Ramus dealing with this gal? She was just, had one of these lives. It's like, beat that testimony. Seen it, done it. She'd been through everything. You know, and she's a young minister. She's going, oh, God, what can I do? I don't even know enough Bible to know how to minister to her. And the Lord just spoke something very simple to her. He said, just get her to the throne of grace, and I'll take it from there. And you know what? That's the word each of us need. Praise just gets you to the throne of grace, where the mercy and grace to help will take it from there. Isn't that an amazing thing? You think you know what you need. No, you just need to get to the throne of grace. And then when you get there, he'll begin to just show you the subtle little things and the spirit and heart things. And praise God. That's what makes him Lord. A pastor can't do that. A teacher can't do that. You can just point. And then when you go to your Lord in that secret place, then he does it in you. And it's like, yes. Praise God. That's my God, my Lord, my Jesus. My Heavenly Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you that there's one thing, no matter what's going on around us, that we can do at all times, and it's always the will of God. We can just have a thankful heart, a heart that just stops and says, Lord, I don't understand it all. I don't get it all, but I know one thing. You love me. You're for me. I have so much cause to be thankful. I got a hope that transcends this life. My life is just, it's incredible. Father, help me to see past just the issues of today. To see past what I don't have. And like Jesus, to see what you are able to do with what I do have. Lord, as we lift up our loaves and our fish this morning of what we do have, with thankful hearts, Father, I just pray, Lord, the multiplying power of God flows through that thanksgiving. Multiplied understanding, wisdom, grace, peace. Oh, Lord, you are Lord. You're alive. Jesus is alive. We serve a living God who does mighty exploits, who's alive in his people in the earth. We're your hands, we're your feet, Lord. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you this morning. I can always praise you. You deliver me from all my fear. As I praise you, as I praise you, I get spiritually minded. As I get spiritually minded, I get life and peace. As I get life and peace, I have ears to hear what you're saying to my heart. And in those words is my deliverance, is my provision, is my joy. Jesus, you're alive. I love you. And Lord Jesus, today's my day. The day I'm calling upon your name. I believe in my heart you died on that cross for my sin. Many things I don't understand. One thing I choose to believe. You love me. I believe that love now. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. If that's the first time you ever prayed the second part of that prayer, we just want to say welcome to the family. That's all you can do is call upon his name. He did the work. We just receive that grace freely. If that is you, let me know. I'd love to further pray with you and give you some great materials to get you started.